Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 421, the first verse. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place, how good and pleasant is thy dwelling. My thirsty soul longs earnestly, yea, faints thy holy courts to see, mid festal throngs and music swelling. My heart and flesh cry out to God, to him I spread my hands abroad. 421, stanzas 1. Reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 22 through 51. John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 22. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you John 6, beginning at verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in thy long-suffering patience and goodness and mercy unto us, unworthy sinners, that we again have another opportunity to come into thy house, that on the first day of this week, on this beautiful morning, on the day that thou hast given us, that we may rest from all other labors and cares and concerns, and to have a day to gather, to hear thy precious word, a day to gather in thy house to worship thee. And Lord, we beg thee then that thou would come among us with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, thou art faithful to an unfaithful people. There's no reason in us. We are all sinful, and we have sinned all our rights away in paradise, but also with our own personal sins, also the sins of this past week. We stand before thee guilty. And if thou would judge us according to all our iniquities, we would only be sent away. But Lord, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would richly bless the preaching of thy precious word of law and of gospel. Oh, we beg thee that by thy law thou would show sinners who they are, that they are sinners, guilty, lost, polluted, corrupt before thee, a holy and just God who can by no means clear the guilty. And Lord, wilt thou lead then those lost ones, those guilty ones, those ones who are taught there is no way in self to be reconciled with thee. It's all impossible, unable to pay, unable to performed the law perfectly as thou justly demands. O wilt thou lead them and draw them, as we have read and heard from thy word, that thou wilt draw people, thou wilt teach them, and they will learn those lessons that they are sin, guilty, lost, hell worthy, worthy to be eternally sent away. But thou wilt also draw them to that only one, to that precious Savior of sinners. O Lord, remember them, that poor needy people who in this week must confess, I've nothing in self. It's all sin, all polluted, bankrupt. And Lord, wilt thou then show them again, or for the first time, those poor needy ones, of him who is the bread of life. O give faith to look outside of self for the first time or by renewal, that he may be lifted up in the preaching, him who said, I am the bread of life, and draw by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit unto thyself to be fed by thee. Lord, we beg thee then, work mightily, irresistibly, and give that only comfort in life and in death, that I'm not my own, but I belong to that faithful Savior who has purchased me with his blood, who has given his broken body and his life, who has given everything to satisfy that wrath that is upon me, a hell-worthy sinner. O Lord, wilt thou show them the riches and the beauties of the wonders of thy grace that flow out of thee, that overflowing fountain of all good through thy Son, and bless it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that there may be that true worshiping of thee. We confess by nature we are not worshipers of thee at all, only of self. But Lord, we beg thee then, come with thy Spirit, renew hearts, break hard hearts, and draw unto thyself and to thy Son. And thou hast promised, Lord, that those that come unto thee as poor, needy, unworthy beggars, thou wilt not cast them out. O Lord, we beg thee then, give opening to preach, but also give opening to hear, to understand, and to receive. Take away hearts of stone. Give hearts of flesh, teachable hearts, hearts that hunger and thirst for thee. And Lord, feed those poor beggars with thyself, with thy broken body and thy shed blood. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would take away all the riddles, all the questions, the doubts. Lord, lead and guide us by thy Spirit and thy word, that we may know already this morning whether we must attend or whether we must not. O Lord, thou knowest the hearts. O, we beg thee then, yet for those who are under bonds and who must come, who are thy children and do not dare say they are. O, it would be such a wonder that a little dog like them may receive a little crumb from the Master's table. Lord, we beg thee, thou art an almighty God. There's no hope in man, no help in man. Our hope is only in thee. Remember those poor sinners who must say, unto whom else can I go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Lord, bless thy word richly for the glory of thy name and for the comfort of poor, needy sinners. Do above all that we can think and ask, bind up Satan, cast him out, take away all the fear of man, and Lord, give opening, draw with those cords of love to thyself, and give a place for poor sinners, poor beggars, who must confess that they have received thy grace. They've taught a little something of how great my sins and miseries are, and that I stand guilty before a holy God, but also have tasted a little something, a little hope in another, that he was revealed unto them through the preaching, through the word, that they saw him, that he was, their hearts were drawn unto him. And what a wonder, they saw something, a hope, in the wonders of thy grace by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee then, give light and give those who must confess they do not know the marks of grace, that must confess that they do not know those experiential truths of misery, of being completely lost and seeking deliverance only in another and having a desire to live unto thee in gratitude. Oh, wilt thou give that they may be honest and that they may refrain from coming to the table, but that they may repent and make haste for their life's sake, because we all must die. We all must appear before thee, and we need to be reconciled with thee. O Lord, we beg thee then, come among us, work mightily, irresistibly, for thy great name's sake, that thy kingdom may come, that thy dear people, those poor, needy little lambs and sheep, may be strengthened in that faith that thou hast planted, and that they may be fed by thee. O Lord, come then, work mightily, irresistibly. We pray and beg thee, remember the whole congregation for all our needs, not only for our souls, but also remember those who are mourning. Comfort them. Remember the widows, those who have lost a child, those who have lost a father, a mother, a husband, or a wife, other family members, or a friend. Sanctify these callings to our heart. Remember also the family who stood around an open grave in this past week. Oh, we pray and beg thee, Lord, richly bless thy word unto them also, that the death of one may be the spiritual life of many others. Remember all those who are sick. Lord, help. Bless the means they may use for their body, for their minds. Remember also, Lord, as many are mourning also that family in the United States with the assassination of a young man. Lord, remember his wife, his children. Remember that nation. Remember the whole world and all the turmoil. Oh, give that we may hear thy voice that thou art speaking unto us, to seek that only peace, that only way, that only comfort in thee. And that one day our name will also be announced, that we also died and stood before thee. O Lord, prepare us. Have mercy. We beg and pray thee, Lord, that thou would remember then in this morning, give opening to preach thy precious word, and give also a blessing on the sacrament of Holy Supper. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee to hear, to listen, and to receive those blessings that no man can give us but thou alone. Oh, give then those blessings of thy Holy Spirit. We beg and pray thee that thy kingdom may come in the hearts of sinners here in this congregation, but also throughout the entire world, also among Jew and Gentile. Bless thy word, Lord, richly. Help all thy servants whom thou hast called to proclaim thy word. Give them the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're only sons of men. We have nothing in self. We need everything from thee. Oh, may then the people pray unto thee, and that thou would fill with thy spirit and give opening of the mouth to proclaim the wonders of thy grace to unworthy sinners. Lord, bless thy word throughout the world, among thy covenant people Israel. Oh, take that veil away from their eyes, and that the New Testament that testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Lord, do wonders among that people as thou hast promised. But Lord, we pray also in Bolivia, help all those who proclaim thy word in truth, and according to the meaning of the Spirit, death in Adam and life in Christ. And Lord, we ask thee that thy kingdom may come there also, that many Bolivians would be born again, and that thy dear Son may be revealed unto perishing sinners. Lord, help them, the church workers, their families, the elders, the deacons. Remember also Pastor Marco. Help him, Lord. Give him the unction today to proclaim thy word. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We're polluted. We're unworthy. We're filthy. We're sinful. But Lord, we beg thee, come among us for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal welfare. And could it be today for the comfort of our souls? Lord, come and visit poor and needy sinners with thyself and feed them with thyself. Give them that nourishment that only can be found in thee through thy wounds, through thy broken body, and through thy shed blood. Lord, we ask all these things, not because we are worthy of anything, but may we beg it and plead it because of him in whom thou art well pleased at thy right hand, and whose name we beg and pray and ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 368, all five stanzas. Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. 368, all five stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the preparation for the Lord's Supper, we will meditate upon what you can read in God's Word from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 48 and 51. 48 and 51. John 6, 48 and 51. I am that bread of life. And then verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So far from God's word. The theme this morning is, I am the living bread. I am the living bread. Our first thought is the characteristics of the living bread. What are the characteristics of this bread? Who is this bread? What's the beauty in this bread? So that's our first thought. Second, nourishment received by the living bread. Nourishment received by the living bread. How is nourishment received? We'll meditate on that. And so with the Lord's help, I am the bread of life. The characteristics of the living bread and nourishment received from the living bread. So our first thought, congregation, bread is a symbol of food and of nourishment. And you can go throughout the whole world, in all different countries, there's bread. There's much bread in Bolivia also. And in the Bible, we read of bread already almost in the very first chapters. We read about bread. And the children of Israel, they also ate bread. They knew what bread was. They had many rules and regulations according to bread. And now in John 6, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ calls himself bread. Why? Why did Jesus Christ call himself bread? Well, then to understand the reason why he called himself bread, we need to consider from the beginning of this chapter the context. What happened in the very beginning of this chapter? We read that the Lord Jesus Christ did a great miracle. He fed 5,000 men, possibly also men or women and children, so a much larger group, with five loaves, five barley loaves, and two fishes. Two fish. And then there's an abundance of leftovers. 12 baskets were gathered, and we read they were all filled. The people were impressed. This man is a prophet, and they wanted to take him and make him king. They wanted a king to deliver them from the Romans. That would be so wonderful, to be delivered from the Romans, to be set free. And the Lord Jesus knew this. He knew this. He perceived what was going on in their thoughts and in the tents of their heart. And so he left. He escaped. He went away. He went away. And then we read in this chapter that these people, they were seeking for Jesus. Sounds beautiful. Seeking for Jesus. And they come and they find him the next day. And they say, whence art thou? Simply, in other words, how did you come here? Where did you go? And then the Lord Jesus instructs him, as we read in verse 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me. Not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. So the Lord Jesus rebukes them. He says, don't labor for what you need for your body only. Don't labor for those things that will perish, but labor which for things that is for your soul, for eternal life. Labor for things for eternity, for your soul, because soul lost, all lost. And then they responded. They heard a word, labor. How did they respond? Well, we read in verse 28, "Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Or in other words, how can we work to have eternal blessings? What must we work to do to be saved? How can we be saved by works? They heard labor. And then the Lord Jesus again responds to them, as we read in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye might believe on him whom he has sent." He's telling them, you will not be saved by any of your works. I know your doctrine is works of self-righteousness. You will not be saved by any of your works. The only way you can be saved is by one thing: faith in him in whom God has sent. And then the people respond again. In verse 30, the people are asking for a sign. They're asking for a sign so that they may see and believe that he is the Messiah. Did they not just see a great miracle, these people? Did they not see a miracle that we see in the beginning of this chapter? 5,000 fed with so little, and more than even was handed out was, again, leftovers? Was that not a sign that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? They saw a great miracle, but they didn't believe that he's the Messiah. And so the Lord Jesus again spoke to them. But first they said what we read in verse 31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So they're saying, they're asking for a miracle. They say, what you did was a miracle, but what Moses did is a great, much greater miracle. Moses fed 40 years, millions of people in the wilderness. You think this feeding 5,000 is a sign that you are the Messiah? They're full of unbelief, absolute unbelief in him who's standing before them. And they're saying, if you really want us to believe, do a greater miracle. Do something greater, greater than Moses did. And then the Lord Jesus corrects them in verse 32 and 33. "Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." So he corrects them. No, it's not Moses that gave you the bread. It's my Father. But you want to hear something greater? You want to hear something much more precious and greater? My Father, he has sent down living bread for life. For life for your soul. Don't think only all about your body, your needs for this life. Think about your soul. Why did the Lord Jesus then tell them, "I am the bread of life"? Because they were only thinking about their body, but soul lost, all lost. And so he speaks to them about their soul needs, and that he is the bread of life. But natural man does not understand. They have the Lord Jesus even before them, speaking to them, doing a miracle, and telling them about what they need for their soul and the bread of life. But they don't understand. Why? Because they're alive but dead. They have eyes they don't see. They have a mind they don't understand. They have a heart, feelings, will, but it's all against him, the bread of life. But you say, what do we read in verse 34? They respond. They said, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Don't they want that bread? Don't they want the bread that came from heaven? Don't they want the true bread? They are just like that woman by the well in John 4. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ said about living water? And how did she respond? She didn't understand anything of the spiritual content of living water. She thought it would be nice to have water that she wouldn't have to come and draw water. It would be nice to have a water that I could drink and that I would never thirst again. All natural. Same with these people. How do we know? Because they murmured later and left him. So they wanted things for help in this life, for their body, and they had no need for their soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells them plainly in this chapter, in verse 35 and 48, I am the bread of life. How is it with your soul this morning? When there's going to be the Lord's Supper, how is it with your soul? Are you still just like these people? These people that even maybe say, evermore give us this bread, but have no true, real need for the living bread to be reconciled with God, hungry for the living bread for Jesus Christ himself. These people had no need for the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted miracles, they wanted help, but they had no need, and they rejected him in their unbelief, and that is their guilt. But how is it with your heart this morning? How is it? Did you come this morning with hunger and thirst in your soul for the living God, that you could have some communion with him, that he would visit you, that your heart that's so hard again, so cold again, would break again and be poured out for him that your soul loveth? By nature, we're only like these Israelites. And by nature, we will only remain like these Israelites. And sinners, hearing about the bread of life, will only remain that way, hearing of the blessings of the gospel, but yet hearing with the ear and yet dead. And that is our guilt. But what makes the difference? What makes the difference in the life of a sinner, of a dead sinner? What made a difference in this chapter? Because there's two groups. There's a group that wanted him only for bread for their body, and there's another group that hunger and thirst for the living bread for their soul. What makes the difference, congregation? What made the difference in your life? Children of God, little lambs, little sheep of the good shepherd, what makes the difference? You know. Grace. And that is what the Lord Jesus speaks about in this chapter. He points it out. But I think also of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2. Grace. Grace of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. How was your week of self-examination? Did you need to conclude with absolute awe and wonder that God sought you, that God renewed you, because now you have a hunger and thirst you can identify with those sinking sinners in the pits? If, Lord, thou would mark iniquities, how could I ever stand? But there's a longing to be reconciled with the holy God. But how? But then that, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Those ones are taught by God, as the Lord Jesus Christ says in this chapter, taught by God. And they are drawn by God the Father. Drawn. Where are they drawn to? To an end in self. But where are they drawn? Unto whom? Unto Jesus Christ, his Son, who is the living bread. Let's read verse 44 and 45 from John 6. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. They become hungry in their souls, no, not for needs just for this life, but for Christ himself, for the living bread. They're drawn unto him by the Father. They flee unto him as a lost, perishing, guilty, hopeless, bankrupt sinner under the wrath of God. No more hope in self, but they need everything outside of self. They do come trembling, creeping as beggars. They do. And he will not cast them out. And they long to be fed. My friend, are you one of those recipients of grace who know of a hunger and a thirst for God and for the precious Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life? Are you like that woman? The woman, that Syrophoenician woman, who's absolutely unworthy to ever be helped by the Lord. And the Lord said, the bread is not for you, it's for the children. And she stood outside and she said, truth, Lord. They understand, those recipients of grace. It would be such a wonder if they would be fed in their souls with the bread of life. Truth, Lord. Yet, dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Are there little dogs here that morning? It would be so amazing to just taste a little crumb of the mercy and the grace of God for you, an absolutely lost, unworthy, wretched sinner. Just a crumb, Lord. Just a little crumb for a dog like me. What a wonder. Thirsty, hungry ones long to hear about the bread of life. And Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. Oh, that bread is precious. It becomes so precious for their soul because when they taste something, they want to taste more and more. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you. What a wonder. And he longs that they would also, in their heart and in their soul, long to also eat and to have communion, that it would be both him drawing and them longing, fleeing to him. And so, that our hearts may be stirred up again for that precious bread, let us consider some of the characteristics of that bread, that our hearts may burn, Church of God, like the men to Emmaus, and that we long and constrain him, abide with us, abide with us, visit us, stay with us, cover us, feed us. Let's consider for a few moments the beauty of that bread. Jesus Christ says, I am. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm Jehovah. He's the Almighty One. He's Jehovah. He's I am that I am, that Moses heard by that burning bush. He's divine. The living bread, the bread of life, is divine. He has power. He has power for helpless ones. He has power to feed those who can never feed themselves, who have those beggar hands and who never dare to take it. He has power to feed them. He's that one, as we may read in the Word of God, full of grace and truth. Oh, what precious bread. Precious bread. But he's also the one that the Father sealed. Look in your Bible, John 6, verse 27. Do you wonder if he's the one? He's the one. For him hath God the Father sealed. What does that mean? It means the Lord the Father approves. Or he guarantees. He is the bread of life. Sometimes we look for bread. We go to a store, for example, and we want to find bread. We know a certain bread because we know that's healthy. We know that's good for our body. And we want to find that exact bread. And we look for the name. We look for the seal. We look for the stamp because we know that is the bread that's best for my body. But now, reverently speaking, God the Father, he has put a seal on his Son that he is the bread. He says, sinner, listen. My Son is the bread of life. He's the only one that can ever feed your soul. Yes, it's him. He's the one who can give you life. He's the one that only can help you. He's the only one that can give you true health and life in your soul. There is no other. He has anointed him by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has put a stamp on and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That bread is divine. And sealed by the Father. Poor, needy, wretched beggars look no other place to be fed but look to him. But he's also that given bread. That given bread that no man asked for. No man asked for a Savior. But God the Father, out of his own heart, in the stillness of eternity, thought of a way for his glory and to feed wretched, hell-worthy sinners. He gave him given bread. Given for unworthy ones. Provided bread. Provided. As that manna was provided every day. Provided by God the Father. He provided him. And now think, the very one we have offended to the heart with our sins, the very one that we stand before guilty under his wrath because of our sin and because of whom we remain to be, he provides. He provides his son. He provides bread for those that are only worthy to be under his wrath eternally and to hunger and thirst and to never be fed under his wrath. He provided. That's what the Lord Jesus said in John 6, verse 32 and 33. But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. We chose death. Yes, us also, Church of God, we chose death. We destroyed ourselves. And yet he provides in his love bread. But also think of God the Son. He giveth himself to be the bread. He giveth himself to feed perishing sinners. He said in verse 51, and the bread that I give is my flesh. He gave himself. He didn't hold anything back. He gave everything. He gave his body. He gave his blood so that there would be food. So that he could say, I am the bread of life. So that poor perishing sinners could taste of the wonders and the mercy and the grace of God. What love, what mercy, what grace, what goodness. God gave. God provided. What type of a bread is it? Living bread. It's the bread of life. The Lord Jesus said in verse 48, I am the bread of life. 51, I am the living bread. No other bread. No other bread can feed your soul as this bread. All other types of bread you can eat and you can eat and you can eat and you will still perish. As the Israelites eating the manna. But Jesus Christ is the living bread. Living bread. He has life. He is life. He gives life. He gives eternal life. In him is life. He gives life to dead sinners. And he sustains their life by himself with the bread of life. And he gives eternal life to those who only deserve to eternally perish. John 17 verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The bread of life. He's greater than manna. Manna that fell 40 years every morning. He's greater than manna. Those Israelites ate manna. And many of them eternally perished. But Christ, the bread of life, he gives life. He seeks and gives life. And he feeds. And he gives sinners unworthy ones. He gives his beloved ones eternal life. Jesus Christ is like the manna. The manna is a type of Christ. I think of manna came down from heaven and fell on the ground. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He came down upon this earth. Manna was little and small and fell on the ground. It couldn't go any lower. And Jesus Christ humbled himself. Humbled himself. He came down upon this earth to the very ground to feed beggars, lost beggars in the dust. Manna is white and beautiful. The Israelites longed at the first to see the manna, white and beautiful. And now we think of Jesus Christ, the bread of life. He's white and beautiful. He's pure. We read in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 10, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Is he for your soul the chiefest among 10,000? Is he altogether lovely? Does your heart burn for him? Is it burning for him? For the bread of life. You need bread. You need life. It's only in him. and the true bread is meat indeed, he said. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And poor sinners, they experience that in him, himself, no food. It all becomes death. But they begin to taste even a crumb of the blessings of God's grace through him, through the bread of life. They begin to taste by God's mercy. And that taste of the bread of life satisfies the soul like nothing else can ever satisfy the soul. Jesus Christ, the bread of life, satisfies souls with himself. Have you tasted a little something, my friend? Have you tasted just a little something or not? He becomes sweet. He becomes the sweetest thing for the soul. Is he sweet for your soul? Is his person who he is? That he's the Son of God? That he's the way back to God? You need reconciliation as a lost sinner. Has he become sweet for your soul? Altogether lovely, chiefest among 10,000. And that precious Savior, he never leaves. He never forsakes. We forsake him many times. And his love is that love that will never break. Our love is so poor and wretched. We're not saved by our love. We're saved by his love. His love. We love him because he first loved us. It all comes from him, the living bread. How's your heart right now? How is it this week? Do you know something in your life of hungering for the bread? Did you taste a little nourishment? Do you need nourishment from the bread of life? Are you fainting, weary, sinking, hungry? Are you just one mass of sin still? Nothing good in me, Lord. And yet, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There's fear in your heart. Tender fear of the Lord in your heart yet. Ah, for the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Does your heart go out to him? Do you want to constrain him? Come, Lord, visit, come, skipping over the mountains, visit me, feed me with the bread of life. Well, what are you to do with the bread of life? What are sinners to do with the bread of life? What are they to do? What does the Lord want them to do? What are they called to do? Well, we go to our second thought. Nourishment received from the bread of life. Children, at home you see a table sometimes, right? And your mother puts bread on it. She wants you to be nourished. What must you do with that bread? You must eat it. That bread must become into your body. How can you receive the bread? You must eat it. And when do you eat? If you're not hungry, you're not going to eat. There's bread. But if you don't eat, you're not hungry, you won't eat. So eating begins with hunger and thirst in the soul. It begins with hunger and thirst for him, for the bread of life. Do you confess this morning that you have nothing, nothing that you can give for your salvation, nothing to bring you in back into that favor of God, no way in yourself to ever have rest in your soul? You need it all from him. Are you in the midst of death in yourself? All the blessings, all the experiences, all the texts the Lord has yet given. Don't throw them away, Church of God. And yet, in the midst of death, because it's not your life, you need him. You need the bread of life. What lessons, what painful lessons, but what blessed lessons, because he is the only one who can feed. Are you seeking life completely outside of yourself in another? Has your soul become hungry for the bread of life, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ says this morning, I am the bread of life. This morning, in the preaching, listen closely, please. In the preaching, there's a gospel table. No, I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper right now, in a moment. But in the preaching, there's a gospel table. A gospel table. And on that gospel table, in the preaching, there's bread. There's bread this morning, congregation. And that bread is presented to the whole congregation. Jesus Christ says, I am the living bread. And remember in paradise, God said, thou shalt not eat or you shall die. But this morning, there's a call, a universal call. And the gospel table, that all are called Listen, there's bread. You may come and eat. Listen to what we read in Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So there's a table. Now imagine entering a family, and they say they're hungry. They say they're hungry, but there's bread on the table, and nobody takes and eats. They talk about the bread. They smell the bread. They feel the bread. They look at the bread, and no one eats the bread. What's the conclusion? They're not hungry. They're not hungry. They're only rejecting the bread. Is that still you? Still you? The gospel table? You hear that you cannot stand before the Almighty God? If he marks your iniquities and he tells you the way of life and he even comes as the bread of life, but you only reject, you only murmur, you only forsake him when he speaks about the need of a born Savior, but also of a dying Savior. Do you, so to speak, turn away in your heart? Turn away? It's our guilt. It's our guilt. It's our guilt. But Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. Is your soul thirsty? Are you hungry for him? Do you need nourishment? How will souls, poor, perishing sinners, ever be nourished? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say numerous times in this chapter? Verse 50, 51, 53, 58. He speaks about eating. Eating. Let's read verse 51 again. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. What is it to eat? What does Alexander Comrie say about eating? It's faith. Faith. Eating is a type of faith. As we read in John 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Eating is believing. No, it's not just tasting. Tasting. No, it's eating. It comes in you. It becomes one. There's a union. A union by faith. Faith and eating. They need to eat. The only way to be nourished is eat. It's by faith. Simple, true, saving faith in that only Savior, Jesus Christ. And those poor beggars' hands come out. They know they need him, and he gives it to them. He presents it to them. He draws them to himself. He teaches them. He makes them hungry, and he feeds them by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Eating is believing, true saving faith, believing of who I am and of God's record of myself, of who God is, but it's also eating, believing who that precious Savior is, of him who says, I am the bread of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Eating gives nourishment. Nothing else, congregation, nothing else. It's only by faith, that gift of grace, to believe who you are and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But how did Jesus Christ become the bread? We heard of the bread characteristics. We heard it's only by faith. But how did Jesus Christ become the bread? How is there bread in the gospel? And how will there also, for those who already have eaten from the table, believed in Jesus Christ, how is there also bread in the Lord's Supper? How? How is there bread? The Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 51, and the bread which I give is my flesh, his sacrifice. Through his sacrifice on the cross, through that sacrifice, he became the bread of life. Let's think for a moment at the end here of wheat and how Jesus Christ became the bread of life. We think of wheat. A farmer takes a seed and he plants it in the ground. That seed germinates. It dies, really, for life. It germinates, a little plant, and then fruit. And the farmer then harvests it. And there's wheat. And that wheat is taken, it's ground into flour. And then someone takes it and makes dough, and the dough is kneaded. And then the dough is put in the oven, baked, and then finally there is delicious bread. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I am the bread of life. Now think of what he had to do, what he all had to give to become the bread of life, to feed poor, perishing, hungry, unworthy, sinful sinners. He came upon this earth. He came as a baby, and he lived upon this earth 33 years. But he had to die. He had to die so that there's bread of life. Like the seed had to die to become a plant and produce fruit. The Lord said this in John 12, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ had to die. And through his death, there's bread. He became the bread of life through his death, by him giving everything, by his Father giving him to be the bread of life. And now think of that wheat. That wheat was ground. And now think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was ground. He was beaten. He was afflicted. He was wounded with many stripes. Under the wrath of God, his Father. You say the Romans didn't know. It was under the hand of his own dear Father. The dear Father gave him to be the bread. But his own Father put him to death. And it was his pleasure. Why? So that there would be bread. Bread for perishing, hungry sinners. Jesus Christ on the cross was under the fierce wrath of God, and he suffered immensely, body and in soul, as the substitute. And he died, but he rose again. And so this morning there is living bread for hungry sinners. And now the question, are you hungry? By God's grace has he renewed you, made you alive. Do you know something of misery, of your sins, of your wretchedness before a holy and just God? Have you been emptied of self? You can't feed on any of your experiences either. It's all empty. It's all empty. Blessings, but it doesn't satisfy your soul. It doesn't reconcile you with a holy and just God. You need God for your soul. You need to be reconciled. And have you been stripped and emptied? And have you been drawn? As John, we read in John, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, drawn, my Father draws them. Where? To his Son. To his Son. To the bread of life. And have you eaten? What do I mean? Have you truly believed? Truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you tasted a little something of his mercy, of his grace, of his goodness for such an unworthy wretch as you? And when you could receive that, when you saw it, you had joy. And maybe now it's all gone again. And you just lost again. Is that the life of God? Yes. Ups and downs. When he comes and feeds, joy. But then they see all their sin in the pit again, sinking, need to be fed again. And in the Lord's goodness, he doesn't only preach the gospel, he doesn't only give the gospel, but he gave an extra blessing that those who have already eaten, who do believe in his Son, may come to the table and be fed. Are you one of those, like those disciples at the end of this chapter? They couldn't leave him. They could never leave him. Is that you? Is that your heart? Hungry, needed him, cannot leave him, because to leave him is just death. And you say, but thou hast the words of eternal life. I cannot. I cannot leave. I cannot go. I need him. I need him, because without him, I'm going to perish. And I need him to reconcile me with a holy God. Is that you? Is that your heart? Then this morning, there's an invitation to come to another table. You see, there's two tables to come to another table. And that's the Lord's Supper table. And it's not my invitation. No, it's not. I'm only a son of man. I must preach his word. It's his invitation. He who that is greater than Boaz, who called Ruth, come, and who gave her food, the greater than Boaz, he calls, he invites poor needy sinners with nothing itself, who've been taught by God and drawn to him the bread of life to come. In all your poorness, in all your wretchedness, in all your bankrupt, in all your sins and iniquities, to come. And he promised to nourish. Dear children of God, little lambs and sheep of the good shepherd, hear his voice. Obey for his glory and for your comfort. But maybe you say, my faith, I don't even dare call it faith. It's so small. He longs that you come. Little lamb, he longs that you would come, you who know his grace, that he may strengthen your faith. You say, my faith is so weak, it trembles so much. He longs that you come, that he may strengthen for his glory and for your comfort. You say, I still feel so polluted, so much sin yet. He invites to come. Because why? Because he wants to cleanse you. To give your heart that would burn like the men of Emmaus, to live for his honor, for his glory. Maybe they say, I feel like such a withering branch. I thought there was life before. It's just feel so withering, so poor, just blowing in the wind, a bruised reed, unable to help myself. He invites you to come because he has everything for you to feed your soul with himself. He invites, oh friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved, and he promises, Psalm 132, verse 15, I will satisfy her poor with bread. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 417, standing stanzas 1. 417, stanzas 1, standing. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let the rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. 417, stanzas 1. Let us now read together the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. You can find that on the back of your Psalter if you'd like to follow along. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, and secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to them for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, did everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purpose henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to the supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. But on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, and namely, that we have not that perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assuredly that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our fathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, and that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul. On the tree on the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the eternal meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same, who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread, and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixes itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deeds toward one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore his grace. Let us pray together. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of that new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted head, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. that we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us sing now from Psalter 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, and tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Dear congregation, those who have an ecclesiastical right, but also a divine right, are invited to come. The one greater than Boaz, who called Ruth to come to the table, to feed her, he calls, he invites, those poor, needy, wretched sinners. Those who have tasted a little something from the table of the gospel, of the blessedness of another, that the Lord revealed unto their soul not only who they are, of their sins, of their iniquities, of his holiness, and of his justice, but also of his mercy, of his goodness, to such unworthy wretch as you are. A little something have you seen, have you tasted, something of the wonders of him who is the bread of life. then you are invited to come to this table to sit and to be fed by him. The table is open. Lord willing, we will have a second table. Yeah? Is there another chair? Here. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. He gave his body to be broken, that there may be bread for poor, wretched, hell-worthy, guilty sinners. He gave his body willingly, lovingly, as that good shepherd. And so this morning, there's bread. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. What a wonder. God the Father provided his Son. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. We deserve to be broken, to be eternally under the wrath. But he came to be that bread, to be broken, to be ground, to be under the hot wrath of his Father. So this morning, also, he could say, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. What wonders of grace for unworthy wretches. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and drink ye all of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd for his sheep, he gave his body. And we read in John 10 how he did that. He did that with love. He did that freely. He did that willingly. And we read in John 10 of that good shepherd giving his life. We read then in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. We testify, we know a little something of that good shepherd, of him who is the bread of life. And how do we come to know him? Because he knew us first. He sought us. He made us alive, and we learned that we're all sin, that we only deserve wrath. But then we read, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's that good shepherd, that loving shepherd, that faithful shepherd. He knew what was coming. He came from eternity. He knew that he wouldn't only live. He knew that he'd have to suffer so immensely, not only in his body, but in his very soul, feeling the wrath of his father that he dearly loved. And why? That such unworthy wretches as we are, that only deserve wrath eternally, could taste a little something. Even a crumb is such a wonder. But there's such an abundance in that good shepherd, in that bread of life. He could feed souls. And that's his longing this morning. To feed with himself, to nourish with his love, with his grace. Oh, to taste a little something. Then it's a little heaven here below. What wonders. What love. What love, unspeakable love that we can never, ever truly understand. It will take an eternity to meditate upon that love. And maybe love each other, as we also read in that form. Love each other out of that love. That he loved us, that we can love anyone. If he can love me, then I can love anyone, whoever they are. Oh, may that be true, out of his love, living in love. May the Lord bless his precious word and sacrament. Let's sing now from Psalter 426. 426, and we'll sing stanzas 3 and 4. And then when you go to your chair, to your seat, we will sing stanzas 5. Let's sing together 3 and 4, and then on verse 5, please return to your seats.
Thank you.
Are there others who must confess that the Lord has taught them, He taught you, and that you are all sin, no hope, lying in the midst of death, and that you seek salvation, nothing in self anymore, it's all death, but in another? And has He revealed something of Himself to you, just a little something, and your heart went out to Him, you saw Him, and you long to hold Him, constraining Him, abide with me, missing, longing, a beggar, a little dog that longs for a little crumb, that you may come to testify in the midst of death, seeking everything in Him and in Him alone. Is there yet one? Is there yet a little dog? Just wants a little crumb. If not, then we will close this table, you know? The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. This bread, this body is broken for you. Broken for little dogs, little beggars. And He did it with joy to be broken. What a love. He said, take me and let these go. Because they deserve to be broken. But He stood there to be broken under the wrath of God. So that they may be fed with the bread of life. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For you, what words, what grace, what love of the Good Shepherd. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink, eat all of it. We read in 1 John 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And now listen, what is a picture of that love? Of love. In all capital letters. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through him, here in his love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so to say to my own words, God sent his Son to be the sacrifice. Remember that picture of the wheat? That it was ground to be flour, and it was kneaded and put in the oven to be baked. God the Father gave his Son, and it's pictured in this, that he would be ground under his wrath, whipped, beaten, wounded, suffering so immensely, but also in his very soul. Why? Because of his love. Because of his love for such wretched ones that only deserve to be eternally ground under his wrath, to be forever whipped and beaten, to be forever sent away, forever hunger, and never ever to have any peace or rest, anything, nothing, no water, ever. But he gave his Son. This is love. And his Son gave himself. What love. What unspeakable mercy and grace. The love of the Father and the love of the Son. Let us now sing from Psalter 426, and we will sing stanzas 6 and 7 and return in verse 8. 6 and 7 and return to our seats in verse 8.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, be now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us say with an attentive heart, let's close in prayer with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us close now in singing from Psalter 55, stanzas 1 and 3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me, no want shall find me there. In pasture green he feeds me with plenty, I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me and makes me safely rest. Psalter 55, stanzas 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.